Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, again, this Advent season, I'm preaching on the Advent wreath, but we're doing it a little differently this time. Not only are we preaching on the four subjects of hope, peace, joy, and love, but also I'm using the Anglican version of it, which has a little bit more information about the candles. Today we are on the second candle, which is called the Bethlehem candle, or the candle of preparation, the John the Baptist candle. And it goes along with our reading today. I gotta talk to you about this. Did anybody besides Dean notice that the gospel reading last week was the triumphal entry into Jerusalem for Palm Sunday? Sort of funny. Why would they have that during Advent? What is it talking about? The triumphal entry and coming of Jesus to the people. I find it interesting, though, that they use that Palm Sunday reading for that. I mean, there's a lot of other ones you could use, too. But everything works together. Now, today we're talking about the candle of peace. In Greek, peace is Irene, Irene. So if somebody is named Irene, their name actually means peace. How many of you knew that? One, okay, two. Well, I think today that it's good to note the difference in baptisms. John the Baptist's baptism with water was for repentance, correct? The one that we go through is for salvation. So there's a difference between the two baptisms. And John is the first one to talk about that. All right. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" I used to do this, the reading for the second Sunday in Advent, is this about making his paths straight. When Handel wrote the Messiah, okay, the Messiah is a huge work of music, and it was written in 2 weeks. Now, what we know of in the Messiah is the Christmas portion. There's also an Easter portion. If you do the entire Messiah, it takes about six and a half hours to perform, okay? And what happened during the Messiah, this is just a quick aside, you know, if you've been sitting there for 4.5, 5 hours, man, you want to stand up and stretch. And so what happened, this was written for the opening of a hospital the king had paid for in Dublin. So the king's there. And so when they got to the Hallelujah Chorus, the king just had to stand up and adjust his pants. And so when he did, everybody else rose. And that's why we all, in tradition, stand for the Hallelujah Chorus, because the king couldn't sit any longer. Okay, it's one of those things that happen, but we keep the tradition going. But Handel starts the Messiah with two parts. First of all, there's a recitative, which is a reciting, singing, called "Comfort Ye My People." And then the second part is the first aria in the Messiah. Every valley shall be exalted. I've only sung it about 40 times. But the thing is, I can't sing it in the morning anymore. My voice has dropped a little bit. But it's this text about John the Baptist making the path straight that it came out in Isaiah. But isn't it interesting that Handel theologically started the Messiah, the coming Messiah, with this text? Because with this story, the coming of the Messiah is the beginning of the way to the cross, the redemption of mankind. Now, John knew he was serving Jesus. Remember when Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth when she was pregnant with John? What happened? He leapt in the womb, okay, when they came there. So even then, he knew that he was with Jesus. Here's what he says: "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I." whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. What is he talking about? The end times. Okay? The second coming of Jesus, which is what Advent is. It's the 4 weeks we celebrate it. But I always found it interesting that what we do to celebrate the end times is with hope, peace, joy, and love. Is there a dichotomy there? In other words, a square peg and a round hole? Maybe a little bit. But those are the bases for Christianity. All right, so what was that scripture again? He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Last book in the Old Testament is Malachi. One of the greatest base arias in the Messiah is, "For he is like a refining fire." I wish I could sing it. You remember something called Godfather's Pizza? Remember the original Godfather? Okay, Godfather's Pizza was from Omaha. And Bill Cole was the guy that always did that aria when we did things at the University of Nebraska in Omaha. He had a tremendous bass voice. Anyway, he would stand up and sing that aria and the room would vibrate. You know, it's one of those things, he had that kind of voice. But the refiner's fire. What is a refiner's fire? That's when you take the slag off of metals. And so when you're refining gold and silver, you get, in this case, the chaff like you have in grain out of the metal. Okay? So when he's talking about an unquenchable fire, that's that fire at the end times. Because the non-believers are not going to heaven. We're waiting for the return of Jesus, for the time of everlasting life with him in heaven, when we all can sit at that seat at the foot of the throne of God. And folks, that throne of God is the source of everything that's good and all the light in heaven. How is this going to be? I have no idea. But I look forward to this with great anticipation. I was thinking, how do you explain this? It's like a 10-year-old who gets to go to Disney World for the first time. Wow! Okay? Do you think he's got a little bit of anticipation for that? I do. He can't wait. And to be honest with you, neither can I. But just as we talked about the end times, it's a little scary too, isn't it? None of us know what's going to happen. What we know of, we understand because Scripture talks about it. Now, all four readings today discuss that. And it's written in the Bible. And how did Paul put it? For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And last week we talked about hope. But the thing is, all 4 weeks work together. So how does hope work with peace? Can you have hope without peace? Or, on the opposite, can you have peace without hope? Those candles of the Advent wreath represent the basic tenets of Christianity. The things we're supposed to have, the hope, the peace, the joy, and love. You know, pastors always finish their sermons, if you notice, I use a form of that. It's Philippians 4. May the peace which passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus, which I'm going to end with today because we're talking about peace. But why is that so important? Well, the peace which passes all human understanding. What is that? Jesus. Okay? And it's the peace that he brings to us. Remember, the faith is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Peace, then, is a gift of Jesus. You with me? Christianity is all four of these at the same time, all of these. And that's the reason that St. Paul gives us in Galatians 5 for living in the Spirit of God rather than in the flesh. Okay, because we want to live in the Spirit. Anytime we start to feel angry, frustrated, negative, are we in the Spirit or are we in the flesh? Okay, but anytime we feel joy, peace, love, and hope, we're in the Spirit. Those are the things that Jesus gave to us when he earned them for us on the cross. He promises he will return in glory as the great judge of all that is hopeful, peaceful, joyful, and loving. The attributes that his people possess and share with others. I got to show you this again. I've done this. I don't know how clearly you can see this. When we were at the seminary, when we walked to classes, the entranceway to the classroom is this mural. It's Jesus as the Panto Creator, the judge of all, because that's what we're waiting for. You know, we celebrate all these seasons. But as I've talked about, what are the things that are done? What are the things to come? Everything has been finished, but what are we waiting for? The return of Jesus. As Christians, do we have to fear that return? No. It's when we get our final gifts. God so loved the world that he gave hope, peace, joy, and love in the form of his Son to die for our salvation. The one who's coming is mightier, who will baptize us in the salvation of eternal life. That's what we celebrate this time, and that's what we look forward to in the second coming, with hope, peace, joy, and love. Not only for Jesus, but for all of his people. May this peace, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.